The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Storm.
The Boogie Monster, podcasting the unknown.
Oh yeah. Good day.
Well, good day to you, Kyle.
Yeah, this is, welcome to the Boogie Monster, if the introduction hasn't told you yet.
Mm-hmm.
I should really listen to the final product with the intro into us talking.
Yeah, it could be anything. How would you know?
It's like nice professional intro, and then this dipshittery. if everything goes well, this will come out, on the 25th of October.
Yeah.
Week leading up to Halloween.
Ooh.
Exciting stuff.
I like Halloween.
Halloween's my favorite.
Yeah.
And every year, like, I see people in costume. It's the only year I wish I was a parent. And I would just, my kids would hate me, but I would go nuts with costumes.
Costumes, decorations.
I would get, well, I mean, I could do that now.
Yeah.
With decorations and stuff. It's one of those years, every year I'm like, oh, Halloween's coming. And then I go out and I see everything and I'm excited about it and I'm glad that neighborhoods celebrate it and people dress up, but then I never do it myself. I really.
Well, just because you're almost 40 with no kids shouldn't stop you from celebrating and decorating Halloween, because it hasn't stopped my roommates.
Well, this is L.A., so go for it if you want to do that. You sent me pictures that your roommates were. I think that's great. I'm glad your roommates decorate. Like, you're not happy to see Halloween?
But they do it with every holiday, like Christmas, Easter. They decorate for Easter. There's, like, little Easter baskets and candied eggs. You know,
I feel like I've fallen out of the holiday circuit. I think that's one thing that kids will make you do is be kids and living by your family. You're going to be more involved in holidays. I don't have kids and I live thousands of miles away from my family, and holidays do not register with me at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just don't, like, oh, it's an Easter Sunday. Right on.
Yeah.
Halloween's the one they're like, doesn't matter what age.
Yeah. I enjoy Halloween, and I'm not knocking my roommates. It's just, man, they go all out. Like, just, we have seasonal posters. Like, there's every poster in the living room changes with whatever season it is. Obviously, they're Halloween posters now.
Like scary movie posters.
There's 3 or 4 mannequins. Like, it is a little unnerving. You're just sitting there watching the NLCS, and in my peripheral, there's a skeleton. I'm like, ah. Oh, I forgot that.
Oh, so you got scared by Halloween decorations.
I did.
Good job, Dave's roommates. You're not getting sympathy out of me. Good job on the decorations.
Hey, by the way, remember...
scared old macho man over here trying to watch his baseball.
Remember, we were talking the other day about the possibility of maybe making this a live video cast. I really wish we were doing that today.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think about that part.
Looking good, buddy. I like it.
I realize I am pretty much wearing a very open robe, drinking some Jim Beam on the rocks.
I feel uncomfortable.
I was going to ask before we started. I was like, hey, man, is it cool if I'm just hanging in a robe? Like, I just got out of the shower. I didn't realize how much the robe was open.
Oh, no. I like it.
Well, now I feel self-conscious.
No, it looks good. It's just, I feel overdressed.
Let me cover up.
Oh, man.
Like, I'm at... Have you ever, like, I haven't worn all my clothes. I have too many clothes, but have you ever gotten to the point where you've worn all your stuff?
Yeah, like literally there's nothing else before laundry.
I have plenty more to wear, but I was like, no, of all my acceptable clothes, I need to just give some of the stuff away.
Yeah.
But, sorry about the...
No, I like it, buddy.
I was approaching it like, I should be comfortable recording.
Where'd you get that rope? It's a red, what is that?
It's like a... maroon, very feel the arm on that. Go and feel the arm on that.
I need to
get
one.
Terry cloth robe. It's a robe made out of towels already.
Okay,
genius.
Yeah,
I don't even know why I dried off.
That's true.
I could have just put on this robe right out of the shower. Done.
Yeah, I like it, man.
Yeah, I got done while I was got pretty rad on the mountain bike.
Oh yeah,
yeah, I get radical.
Did you go shred?
Yeah, I was shredding out there. You know, I was just making sure that, you know, I get that Red Bull sponsorship.
I understand.
No, and then you were on your way here, so I had to take a shower right quick. Sorry about the presentation.
Oh, no.
I guess, yeah, live. If any, I'm up for an opinion from the public about a live video feed of a. You said.
The trend.
Why?
I appeared on one yesterday against my will. My roommate, Ryan Singer, who has a great podcast that we've talked about before on this one.
Not one of the decorators.
No, not one of the decorators. Me and Paranormal U. He was doing his live feed while I was trying to make some chili. So
What was going on. Yeah. I saw pictures.
Yeah. Trying to make chili, and he's in there talking about crystal skulls.
I saw that photo. I was in the woods. I was in the Angeles National Forest.
Yeah, you went on your sabbatical.
Yeah, got out of town while the special came out Saturday. If anybody watched it, thanks. I appreciate it.
You're so full of shit, by the way.
Well, yeah.
Just for months, I was like, "So how's that? How you feel about the? It's not going to be very good."
You know how something you want something to be and how something turns out.
Well,
and it turned out fine. Mm-hmm. It turned out very good, but they had to cut some jokes out. They had to cut some jokes in half. More my fault if I know it's going to be edited. Then you can perform it as such, knowing it's going to be edited. Stop a joke clearly. Start the next joke clearly. Mm-hmm. And therefore put those breaks in. That's not my style. Mm-hmm. And there's giant chunks. There's still about 25 more minutes.
Now that's
so go by the full version.
That's Comedy Central's version. So
yeah.
Now, as this is coming out, the full version is available.
It'll be on iTunes and Amazon and
Now are you pleased with that version?
At all your Pretty pleased, yeah.
Dude, it was funny. It was really good.
Well, thanks, man.
I enjoyed it.
Didn't know it was a supermoon while I was camping.
Was it?
I was at a campground, so there was people there, but so I wasn't totally secluded. But yeah, I did not hear about supermoons until I think a year ago.
Now, what exactly is a supermoon?
It's just a little bit bigger than a regular moon. But how come all of a sudden...
Super's a strong word then.
Yeah, or is it just like... Astronomers just rebrand the moon? Is it Tascam? People aren't buying telescopes anymore. Well, we can't sell them anymore on the device. We got to
know what they're missing out on.
We got to tell them what's coming up. We need a new campaign for the moon. We got to get excited about these stars.
Yeah. Yeah, there's always...
Because it's been the same shit up there since day one.
Yeah, and you're right. I'm just now hearing more and more about supermoons, eclipses, blood moons, all kinds of
weird
stuff.
I always hear about eclipses.
I'm still not clear.
I mean, it's not like they're popular. Like now, is it because social media, much like you would not have heard of a band 15 years ago, you never heard of what a supermoon was? But I think the same story, like if the news is like, oh, there's going to be an eclipse tonight, the news would be like, oh, there's a supermoon tonight. I would have heard about that shit 30 years ago.
Yeah, you would think.
Last year, supermoon. Mm-hmm. It was impressive.
Where'd you go camping?
In the Angeles National Forest.
Yeah.
Right up California Highway 2.
We've been up that way before.
Yeah, we went up that way last year.
It's a good time.
Same area. Yeah, we were at Buckhorn. No, we were at Buckhorn. Either way, I was up there and did some bike riding. Managed to catch the first Cubs-Dodgers game on some satellite radio. Tuned in just in time to hear about that Grand Slam.
Oh, man. So
good. They lost yesterday. Not a big sports guy, but the Cubs. Did we talk about that last week? About how if the Cubs win... It's probably the end of the world.
Yeah.
We did talk about that?
I think so. Or we addressed it.
Or we were discussing it offline, off mic.
Yeah. See, that I don't know. I don't know where reality stops.
Well, hey,
the podcast
begins. It's tough. We're always on.
Yeah, that's true.
We're always 100% charm.
Brought you a gift today.
All right. The pictures of this chili that appeared on a live video cast.
I was braising my beef knuckles on his... On his
that
live,
sounds like a euphemism.
Yeah, I'm sitting there braising my beef knuckles, and Ryan sticks a camera in my face. So a little behind-the-scenes action there of Dave's Kitchen. But, dude, I'm excited for you to try this chili. As a lover of chili that I know you are.
Big fan. Had a bowl at Newcomb's Cafe up in the Angeles Crest. Big where the sport bike guys, they all dress like Power Rangers, get all nuts. They all stop up there. Like, that's the main stop.
Nice.
Made a decent bowl of chili, but then because I was back by some reception, I could see some pictures of what you were doing. And you make good food. You know what you're doing, but you... You got a real hard-on for this chili, Dave.
Oh, man. Yeah. It's some of the best I've ever made. Might I say some of the best I've ever tasted. Mine
all right.
Otherwise.
Do you want to enlighten? I mean, because now you're getting hit up with recipes. We're going to have to get a website, and you're going to have to let people know.
So many. Hundreds of emails for those biscuits. So anybody who reached out for that.
They might want to pour this chili over them biscuits.
Ooh, there you go. Look at that.
You sent me like all kind, like what you were putting in this thing.
Oh, man. All right. It's all about layers of flavor, Kyle. Just layers of flavor. Like, by the way, let me add, every two-bit tough guy thinks he makes great chili.
Every two-bit tough guy.
Every two-bit macho man.
Every saloon bruiser.
But chili is the one thing that guys who normally don't even cook will tell you, yeah, I can make good chili. Yeah, sure you can.
Well, just throwing stuff at a pot, too.
There's so much more to it than that. That's the thing. Man, I've had so much bad chili. It's not – the average jackass is going to brown some ground beef and throw a can of spaghetti sauce in there and
jazz it up. I'm going to ask, have you had bad chili or it was just not great chili?
I've had very not good chili, like soupy. Just mine's like mine is just let's just TLC, baby. You gotta put that tender loving
put
care.
Some
oh man. So anyway, I can't give the recipe out today. It's just so
Skittles and a few Q-tips
it's just
in there.
So complex do? But just layers of flavor, man. I started with some ground chuck and some ground pork, so
yeah.
I got that going in there. Chopped up a bunch of onions, got that going. Put a little olive oil. That's your first step. The meat and the onions, get those browning up.
Base flavors.
Then I went with some like umami. That's what I'm going after for when I'm chasing.
What is that? The elusive
this chili dragon that
sixth
I'm chasing.
Sixth or seventh flavor?
Yeah, I think it's the sixth. I don't know. It's one of the others, but it's an
it's
Asian
the flavor
thing.
Version
yeah.
of.
And I don't
Sixth
even know.
Sense.
Yeah, I don't even know how to explain it. It's just a real.
I taste dead people.
It's just a deep.
That's good for Halloween.
Deep flavor. So what I did is
it's the flavor of dead people.
I took my chilies. I had some jalapenos, some poblanos, some chipotles.
Mm-hmm.
I pureed them in the blender. I also threw in some anchovies and some dark chocolate.
See, now you're just getting real.
Man, anchovies.
Did you have that planned out, or were you just like, well, these are here?
I got to give credit to, some people have like a spiritual, what's the word I'm looking for, advisor. I have a culinary mm-hmm. advisor, my good buddy Craig Holzer, who I've spoke
okay.
about on this podcast. Who,
spoke about last week from Red Clay.
Runs the kitchen at the Albert in Atlanta, also co-founder of King's Barbecue. This dude, he's a shaman.
Yeah.
This dude really knows. So I was talking to him the night before, and I was telling him my game plan, and he was very pleased with it. But he threw in a couple little tips, such as the anchovies and the dark chocolate. So big ups to Craig
Holzer. I could see the chocolate making its way. Because like, do you like mole sauce?
Yeah, I love mole.
Mole is like a chocolate. I don't know if it's based, but
there's chocolate in it for sure.
So it's not completely obscene.
Yeah.
Anchovies always just seem like this is what – like poor people next to the sea used to eat, and we don't have to do that anymore.
But yeah, but if you incorporate that in with some of the other flavors, it just gives you that deep. I'm not going for surface level flavor. I'm going for deep. I'm tunneling down.
Deep cuts,
tunneling into the earth's surface for flavor. So the beef knuckles simmered in there, just some beef bones, a couple big old
beef hunks, knuckles.
Beef knuckles. Just you wouldn't want to necessarily
it's a
eat them.
Cloven animal, correct?
Yeah, but. Just
where's the knuckle?
The knuckle, I don't know. That's just what
it's
said
got
on the
a
package.
Hoof.
It's. I think even with a hook, there might be a knuckle, right? I don't know. That's a good point.
I mean,
good point.
No, I'm not trying to poke holes in the chili here. I'm just saying.
Whatever it was.
Fair enough.
Whatever it was, a bone of a cow that I had simmering in there, and then some spices, and it was just You tell me.
I got a little.
I'll shut up and let you tell me.
Got a little Tupperwares full of it here.
Yeah. I was very pleased with it. I will say this, okay? A little dinner party etiquette. All right, you've been over to my place before when I have a little dinner party.
Yeah.
I don't do it as much now when I had my own place.
Interested to hear what the tip on etiquette's going to be because one of the last times I ate when you had your own place, you let people play softball in your living room.
Were you there the day I busted the light fixture?
Yeah, I think
just went
so.
Everywhere.
Anyway, go on about etiquette.
Well,
tell me how I should behave.
If you know that I'm spending all day making whether it be a chili or gumbo or my barbecue, most of the stuff I cook takes all day. And
yeah.
I like cooking stuff like that. I
that
like
camping trip, if yeah. I could bring up when you're up there,
yeah.
was just you driving up there with a smoker, putting food in it, and looking at it the whole day. We all went on hikes. We're playing frisbee. We're doing stuff. You just put stuff in a smoker and then looked at the smoker.
Yeah, gotta babysit that sucker. Awesome. I like cooking things that take time. You know, I like the time and the effort that goes into the good
TLC.
Cooking. All right, my point is, if you're coming over to my place and you know I spent. And you do know I spent 6 hours making this chili because I will definitely remind you. You know, I get a couple whiskeys in me. I like to talk about the flavors that's yeah. going on at these parties. Take a page from my dad's old military book. I have a joke about it. Take all you want, but eat all you take. I was cleaning up.
Yep.
I was cleaning up the party. There was like two bowls of like half-eaten bowls of chili. Now, I know ordinarily that would piss me off for another reason. When I invite people over, I see who's eating and who's not.
Yeah.
You know, and it's you know, and sometimes I guess, you know, you don't bat 1,000. Sometimes my meal wasn't as good as I thought it was, so people don't eat as much. But this, like, everybody was going nuts over it. There's only, and I'm not gonna name who it was.
You'll name after offline. You'll tell me.
But people were going back for seconds and thirds, yeah. which was great, which is encouraging. But like on that third bowl, you know. Again, take all you want. If you want to eat a third full bowl, but
yeah.
don't just eat half of it and let it go to waste. I mean, that was
inconsiderate.
It was inconsiderate, man.
Did you just put it back in with the leftovers?
I ate it.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
That's how I'd live.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's how I would do it.
So,
Rachel and I went to the original pantry last week, and it's like a historic venue, which I think the meat in the chicken fried steak was from the original time it was open.
Not very good.
I had a burger that was all right, but like again, like couldn't, like I still brought it all home.
Yeah,
and
man.
I was like, ugh. And it wasn't good the second time around. Fries. I bring fries home. I know you can't reheat fries, but I bring them and I'll force a few down, get some fuel out of it.
I'll eat a cold fry.
So, all right. So, yeah.
So, yeah.
Take all you want.
Eat all you want, but eat all you take.
That's makes sense.
Yeah. Especially at dinner party where it's something.
You have a lot of people there?
Time consuming, like chili. Nah, handful. We watched Cubs game one.
Yeah.
In LCS. I know this is coming out a few days later, but who knows where they're at as we speak now.
Mm-hmm.
But
so we got a chili recipe that's going to be coming up.
Yeah, chili. I don't know if I want to give that out, but. Well, here, let me just
go.
Well,
you told everybody what kind of stuff. I mean, I think chili is a nice. Chili's like improv. You know, you can go wherever you want with it.
You can. And, all right, the basis of mine, I started with a ground chuck. I threw in some ground pork.
Like food jazz, baby.
I had the beef bones. I had poblanos, jalapenos, Anaheim peppers are really good. Chipotle. So I had four different types of peppers in there. And what I did with those peppers, other than the chipotles, because they kind of came separately in there. Chipotle's a smoked and dried jalapeno.
Yeah.
But the other peppers, I charred them. Had the gas stove, and I just set them right directly on the eye of the stove.
What does a char do?
Get a little char. It changes the molecular structure of the pepper. And this is a question I had for Craig, because you're supposed to char them, but then you're supposed to peel that skin off. And I was like, well, what's the point of charring? The only part that got charred was the skin, and then I'm peeling it off. But it still does something to the rest of the pepper. It changes its molecular structure.
Okay.
And just some of that little smokiness kind of carries over. Threw in some tomato paste, some stewed tomatoes, the anchovies, onions, garlic. Oh, bourbon. A lot of bourbon in there. That get that oaky
it's a flammable
flavor.
Chili.
Oh, man. And then the dark chocolate and the spices. And you know what else I did at the last second? Because like you said, it's improv. It's jazz. You got to tweak it.
Just put your hand in it for a while.
Little
let
this,
heat
little
up.
That. Towards the end, I felt like it was a little too spicy. Mm-hmm. And by the way, this combination of peppers, it was a different type of heat. It wasn't that directly on your tongue spicy. It was back of the throat spicy. To where, I don't know if you've eaten certain types of Thai food and Indian food, where, like, I didn't hiccup once. So that tells you the surface level spice.
Starts working down in you.
But like, you start sweating, like my neck and the back of my head was sweating. So it's like that deep heat as opposed to just your taste buds. This was hitting me in the back of
my throat. I've had that, yeah.
And making me sweat.
Or it's like a castaway spice.
Yeah.
It doesn't jump out until it's already on the journey.
So towards the end, I felt like it was just a long tad too spicy. I pureed up some canned peaches and threw that in there. Little fruity, sweetie element. Just enough. Like you couldn't, you could barely taste it. It was just more to kind of counteract some of those spices. So,
shouldn't you put dairy in there to counteract spice?
I mean, you could, but I feel like.
You didn't see where dairy would fit in with this chili?
Nah, it's not a dairy chili.
Some nice yogurt in with the chili?
I mean, yeah, that's what the dollop of sour cream is.
Sour cream and cheese, yeah, I guess. No cheese? But, fucking no cheese?
Oh, yeah, I definitely put cheese, you know, as a garnish. Oh, I had thinly sliced red onions, cheese, and corn chips as the garnish.
This isn't quite. On it. Where are you? Well, first off, it is kind of like chili mac and stuff. What's your stance on mac and cheese, like Kraft mac and cheese out of the box?
I mean, for what it is, it's fine. I'm not above it. But it's not a good version by any means.
I love it so much. Yeah.
I mean, I like
it. I don't know, like, if my house, if they got the Velveeta shells, like, we would be like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, you like the original Kraft.
Like, the garbage.
Yeah.
And I don't now. I would eat a whole pan with the wooden spoon I used to cook.
Oh yeah,
it. Like just. Ugh.
Now here's an idea. You take that real basic.
My tastes are bad.
You take that real basic mac and cheese and maybe doctor it up a little on your end.
Hot dogs.
Throw a little real cheese. Sprinkle some real cheese in there. Spice it up a little.
I'm not trying to fuck with what I like the most already.
That's true. Hot sauce on mac and cheese. Ooh, that works.
I get Texas Pete. Yeah, I get that.
It's good stuff.
What about ground beef? You put ground beef in there?
See, then I feel like you're straying off into more of a stroganoff-y type thing, goulash type thing. What I did do with my chili, and I thought this is where you were going.
You've heard that old joke, right?
No, which one?
What do you call a bunch of cows jerking off in a field? Beef stroganoff. Beef stroganoff.
It's pretty good.
Classic bit. I mean, it's from way back, from childhood years.
This is what I did with my chili, the way I served it. A lot of people, you know, cook up a little pasta or something.
Mm-hmm.
I either go straight on chili, of course, with the garnish of the red onions or even green onions if you got them. But what I really enjoy is I cooked up a big old batch of just steamed white rice.
Okay.
Just get you a couple spoonfuls of that steamed white rice at the bottom of the bowl. Then put chili
and rice. I get chili and rice, man. Yeah.
It just makes it a little more substantial. It stretches it out, you know, especially if you're trying to feed a lot of people. Throw a couple little spoonfuls of that rice. Mmm, mixes in so well. Chili time, Kyle. That was my chili.
So I'm excited about. Thanks for bringing some over.
Yeah, I'm going to sit here and stare at you while you eat it.
I ate a whole bag of frozen fried rice from Trader Joe's.
Oh, yeah?
Not to disrespect this talk of.
And Trader Joe's, experimental,
great. This was just fried rice.
You ever had their Trader Joe's frozen orange chicken? It's
no man. You were going on. Somebody else was going on about that too.
Real good, better than most orange chicken you'll get in a
orange
like a
chicken
Chinese restaurant.
Is like candy for dinner.
Oh man,
it's not good, but it's definitely like when you're like, wait, I could eat this for dinner. And it shouldn't be.
Yeah.
It's if somehow chicken wandered into dessert. Like chicken accidentally stumbled into.
Hey, what's going on in here?
Oh, honey glazes and sweet, delicious. But what about me? I want to be dessert sometimes too.
Man, I was thinking about this today. Speaking of Chinese food, I love Chinese food. But I don't think I've ever had really good. Like beef and broccoli or pepper steak, any type of beef or steak dish with Chinese food. I've never had like, you know what I'm talking about? Like most of the steak, the beef is just so dried up and shriveled and weird.
If you go to get good Chinese food, it's not Panda Express shit. Like that's just American Chinese food. So they're using like the lowest level ingredients, except, and I'll say, Panda Express, it'll hit the spot sometimes where I'm like, I want those flavors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want a combo platter. I want half and half rice and chow mein.
Mm-hmm.
I want mushroom chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll try and scam enough little samplers out of the person working if they're not busy, where I'm like, I had enough of that flavor. And then I get my two other flavors.
Hmm. Well, now that I think
about it. But the beef and broccoli, it never looks good.
I don't know if I've ever had really good Chinese food, like high-end. Like
sit-down Chinese food.
Sit-down Chinese. Like even when I go to a sit-down Chinese place, it's like 11, 12 bucks. You know, I've never been to like a 5-star Chinese restaurant,
like a Peter Francis Chang's.
Yeah,
that is the guy's actual name. Like it's really? Like two of them by his names. I was always, oh, we're going to go to Peter Francis Chang's. He's like a twin brother. Yeah, there's some story about him living around here. But yeah, that's always like because it's different dishes. That's just like here, white people have it, and it worked because I love it.
But even the cheap stuff here, like the chicken, for example, whether it be the orange chicken or some of the other chicken dishes, sometimes it's total crap, but then sometimes you're like, yeah, that's a pretty decent little piece of chicken. I've never had a pretty decent little piece of pepper steak or beef and broccoli.
You only got so much to work with a chicken, though.
Yeah.
It's not like you could start getting real weird parts of a chicken.
Yeah.
There's only so much you can use. You think about a whole cow, there's good – it's like – a chicken's like a small town. You know everybody living there. You know what's going on. Cow is a big city. Oh, look at this cool neighborhood. Oh, this is a bad part of town. Oh, I don't even know who lives here. Like that's – you're going through so many neighborhoods on a cow of questionable origin. But a chicken, you're like, no, it's got five people, and I know them.
Got to write that down. That's funny.
Just no, it's exclusive for listeners here.
That's a bit. That's good. Got
legs, breast, thigh, and then you're done with a chicken.
I don't know. One day I'll have some good pepper steak.
That's where I'm putting my foot down on food talk. I can't talk about putting chocolate in chili, but size of the animal is going to tell you whether or not to keep eating it.
So what else is going on? You went camping. Your special came out.
Anything
else exciting going on?
What did I do since we recorded last time?
We're on TV 7 times last week. Drunk History was great. I don't know if I mentioned
I forgot
to
DVR it, so I didn't see it. I don't know if I tried to – did I try to fight Derek?
No, there was a real funny part where you were making like a whip motion, and you were like, yeah, they'll just put that in a post-production, and then they never did, and it was even funnier because they didn't.
Just making me look like an ass. I make myself look like an ass, but they definitely jump on like, yeah, we got this.
Oh, there was a good underwear shot, just you and your
That's
drawers
what I forgot
eating
about
a burrito.
The day after we taped, I was like, why was I in my underpants last night? Yeah, well, television.
It was good.
Something to send to the folks. I don't know what I'm saying.
Before we get into our topic, I'll throw a shout out to I went and saw Margot Price the other day. Our last episode, I was talking about going that night. Oh my God! Anybody who's give a shameless plug again to Gravy Boat. If you haven't listened to Gravy Boat on SoundCloud, that's my alt country radio program. If you have listened to it and you're into that type of music, check out Margot Price. Just amazing. New gal. She's new to the scene, but just that old school honky tonk country, and her band was just smoking. Just it was awesome.
Yeah,
it was a great show. So that's my music plug for the week. Check out Margot Price if you're remotely into old school or alt country. You won't be disappointed.
All right.
So yeah, Halloween.
Well let's get to the monsters. Well, this will be coming out the week of Halloween. As we started to discuss favorite holidays, what were your costumes when you were little?
I was a pirate many times. I don't know why.
Pirate's a good It's a fun one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of like you then get the license to be that fucking maniac.
Yeah.
When you're looking at people walking dogs when they walk by my house, I see little dogs and I gotta stop and look at little dogs.
I still get the puppy fever. Yeah, a lot of cardboard swords.
Well, and we also grew up at a time where homemade costumes were a big deal. It wasn't so much store-bought stuff. Like, you can get – it was always like a smock and then a plastic mask, which was always like, you know, you had your Draculas and mummies. But it was always a smock and a mask, right?
Yeah.
And so homemade costumes were all the rage. My mom would get – homemade cots. I don't know if I talked about this. I had some pretty bad, like, well done, but terrible costumes.
Terrible in the sense that racial?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did we talk about that?
I don't think we did.
I'm not. All right. Let me just say, the 80s, the late 70s and the 80s, it was a different time.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that people were on purpose being insensitive.
Mm-hmm.
They just didn't know.
Yeah.
You know, hell, people were saying tranny 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And nowadays it's like, oh, yeah, you don't do that. They're people. You know those people. They're out in the world and you communicate with them. And that's insensitive.
Mm-hmm.
And it took some time to realize something like mm-hmm. that. So that being said, very early on, when I think I was maybe 3 and my sister was 1, my dad wanted to dress us up as a pimp and a hooker. Because he thought that was hilarious. What? He just thought it was hilarious. My dad loves Halloween. Like, before anybody would decorate their house, we were the first house in our neighborhood. My dad would hand paint gravestones and put dry ice in the bushes. Nice. Like, you couldn't even do that now because, oh, God, if a kid touches the dry ice and so there's fog, and he was into it early. My dad's not a holiday guy. He's not like a celebratory guy.
Uh-huh.
But Halloween, that was his thing. He just had – all he had was like a cloak and this creepy rubber mask that if you put it on, like, you clearly – like, you, this was made before regulations existed. And you just breathe this mask. Like, I feel like I'm dying.
Yeah.
Like, this is probably all highly flammable. And, that was my mom's cousin was. He's like, yeah, for one Halloween – they just sprayed me with, like, sealant, like wall filler. Like, it's funny. I looked like a marshmallow man before the movie came out, you know? But it was just a funny thing. And I couldn't move my joints or anything, so they had to put me in the back of a pickup truck. Anyway, it's just real flammable. I can't believe I was bar hopping all night. Everybody smoking cigarettes. I can't believe it just didn't light up.
Now dead from mesothelioma.
Yeah. So then that was one costume. I had a very elaborate owl costume. They were like the most impractical
owl.
It was something like it had wings and everything, but it was, but my mom would be proud. It was like, we weren't athletes, but it was a chance for my mom, like a toddler's and tiara type of thing. Like, look at my child in this costume.
Interesting.
Not as an arrogant thing, but look at the, like, she liked it too. She got it. But then you're just sending a kid to school in this ridiculous costume.
Yeah.
Forgetting that you're a kid. You got to go pee. You got to do all this stuff. So it was a mess. But the worst, okay. Then I was about 6. I went as an Arab. This was during, you know, still a big, you know, there's always issues in the Middle East. This is early. There's hostage situations and oil issues, and my grandparents had traveled to Egypt and brought back these gifts, so I had like an authentic headdress.
Wow.
And they painted, you know, a mustache on me, so I look like a little sheik.
They didn't darken your skin, did they?
No, but okay. Instead of a pumpkin to get the candy, my dad just cleaned out an oil can. And so I would trick or treat and put the candy in and an oil can.
Oh my God. So
these are things that we know now are incorrect.
Yeah.
But the worst one is the worst thing you could think, which, please go easy on my folks. This was not from a place of being malicious.
Put on blackface, did you?
My sister got the blackface.
No.
Oh, yeah.
As what? What, just I'm like, a black person? Or was like she Aretha Franklin?
No, like a jungle tribes person.
Oh.
With just a black leotard. And blackface in a grass skirt, and then my mom, like a black afro wig that my mom like tied bones in to make her look like a cannibal.
Oh no.
Yeah. So not like the racist blackface that the KKK would do, like just like, no, you're like a cannibal, and cannibals live in the jungle and they're black. And that was, my sister didn't like it. She's like, I just want to be a regular thing. I don't know what this is. Like, so they're dressing us up as things that we didn't know what they were. And they just, all right, walk around the neighborhood.
That's funny, man. I was always a pirate. A couple of years I went as Commando from the movie Commando with Schwarzenegger.
That's a good one. With the camo face paint.
The green and brown face paint with like a army green tank.
Bennett!
Top. Yeah.
Let off some steam.
Stick around.
Yeah, oh, that was
but,
the one.
Yeah, it was usually a pirate or commando. I don't know. I tell you what costumes I like nowadays that always make me crack up. And they've only been around for a few years. The first time I ever saw it was on the original version of The Office, the British version. Any type of costume where it looks like I'm riding an animal. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh,
where, like,
yeah.
My real legs like play the part of the flamingo's legs.
You step into it.
Yeah, and it looks like I'm riding on the back of a flamingo or an ostrich.
It's the reverse version of when they do it, like put costumes on dogs so their front legs are the front.
Yeah.
God
I love that. I love it on a dog. I love it on a human. But there was
if you had a dog, you can get a costume that makes it look like you're riding the dog, and the dog could get a costume that makes it look like
that would be
your you or something.
When, I'm not a huge Ricky Gervais fan, but on the written, people have seen that and know what I'm talking about. I forgot what episode, but it looks like he's riding an ostrich, and he's just running around, and it looks like he's oh my god, just that visual gag is so funny.
It's not just a costume; it's a gag too. I appreciate that.
So funny, but
I was gonna say I went to the big Halloween party here is in West Hollywood, which if you haven't been, you Dave or anybody listening. Oh, what a treat.
I can imagine.
I only went once because it is a shit show of trying to get down there and everything.
It's just a citywide.
Yeah, they just shut down Santa Monica Boulevard and it's
like over in Boys Town, that area?
Yeah, yeah. And it's West Hollywood is the predominantly gay neighborhood of Los Angeles. And it's also in the middle. Like, so you have. I don't know if this – I'm not trying to be insensitive, but traditionally celebratory and festive culture in a gay neighborhood combined with people that work in show business and have creative imaginations and access to things such as costuming and things like
– Makeup artists.
And makeup artists, yeah. So it is fucking outstanding. And the year I – and tasteless, like – hilariously tasteless, like just go for it. Like basically how you'd see a drag show that's over the top, but it's a whole town just going for it. And the year I went was maybe 2005 or something, and they had I saw two separate Hurricane Katrina costumes, but the one was so elaborate that the guy I don't know how he built it. You know how, like, when they show a hurricane, like, the symbol of a hurricane on a weather map or the news is, like, you see the nucleus, the circle with the two curved arms that come out from it. That's the hurricane symbol.
Yeah.
This guy made himself that. Like, if you looked at him, if you looked down from him from the top, that's what it was shaped like. But he built two giant wooden kind of arms or wings. And he was in the middle, and the arms or wings were covered with netting that just had, like, toy cars and dollhouses and shit in it. And he would just spin around. This crowded street fair, and he would just spin around, and all of a sudden you're just getting pushed by – you don't know what's going on. You're just getting pushed, and a bunch of people are getting pushed because it's one of the arms of the hurricane, and he's just in the middle
and he's
with
spinning?
Squirt guns. Yeah, spraying you with squirt guns and twirling.
That's great.
And it's like, oh, Jesus Christ, this is – and it's happening now. Like, it's tasteless, but that's – it's not meant to be crude. It's like celebrate bad taste.
I don't think it's that Halloween. Tasteless. I mean,
but it's Halloween. You dress up like murder victims. You're dressing up like slaughtered people.
Yeah,
it's meant to be hilarious.
I mean, yeah, people die in hurricanes, but it's a natural occurrence.
Yeah, it's really a wildly blown out thing. You had a weird face after that one. Ooh. Something medically go wrong.
I think I pulled a muscle.
Yeah, that's you got to be careful. Sneezing or belching to the side. I sometimes I'll turn to the side to sneeze, and that, I'll fuck up my back.
Well, I used to do this as a joke, and then I realized that I think it's a Carlin joke, but I meant it from true experience. I am scared to death to sneeze while I'm peeing. I feel like you can't do those at the same time. Like, if I'm already peeing, and then I have to sneeze, I feel like my dick's going to explode or something. It scares me.
Well, I mean, I don't know if that's the concern you should have.
Fight off a sneeze.
I think it's more you just pee all over the place.
Well, that too, but I just feel like I'm going to rupture something. Like both of those forces going on at the same time.
I used to have an old joke about how sneezing and it, Jack, like Which is about like how like the left side of your brain controls the right side of your body, and the right side of your brain controls the left side of your body. Mm-hmm. That's why it explains why I have no control over sneezing or coming, because it's right in the middle. So it's got no territory. It's got no leader.
It's international waters.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like, well, you're doing what you want to do when you want to do it.
Oh man. Well, that's so great. Man,
those were the Halloween costumes that I'm sad. I've actually been touring. This will be coming out. I'll be at Fest in Gainesville that weekend.
You're there most years for Halloween.
Yeah, they do it, and it's fun. It's just a bunch of punk rockers that, and also it's Halloween, and it's good vibes.
Nice.
Good vibes down there. But yeah, so please don't hold my parents in any judgment for the fact that they were actually ahead of the game on tasteless Halloween costumes.
Now let me ask you,
people, what's her name dressed up like in blackface last year? Like, yeah. All right, that's unacceptable.
Yeah.
You should know that's wrong.
Who was that, by the way?
She was from Rock of Ages, my favorite movie. I don't know what else she's from. But I don't know. She dressed up like somebody from Orange is the New
Black. Yeah,
With coloring the skin.
Now,
can you dress up like someone? Here's a question. Can you dress up like somebody from another race without doing anything to your skin? Is that offensive?
Example being?
Like if you want to dress up like Bob Marley.
Mm-hmm. But you'd still have to have like the fake dreads or something probably.
Yeah.
Or else you, without so at least the fake dreads, you'd just be.
So is that offensive?
A dipshit stoner white dude.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a good question. I think probably best what to if just a white stay away from anything.
What if a white person with a huge mistake of having white person dreads dresses like Bob Marley?
Yeah, he's already got a strike against him.
Yeah, all right. Some double fail.
Were your parents big on handing out treats, being a good house for the trick-or-treaters to stop by?
So my dad would actually scare the kids and then run away. But no, we have candy. Like he didn't. Like it's Halloween. Stop eating chicken shits. Like,
what do you mean he would scare them?
He would hide in the bushes, get with the whole thing set up with his creepy mask, and he would take us Halloween. Remember one time he took us trick or treating, but wouldn't come to the door. He would just like walk slowly behind his kids in this thing, so it looked like we just had a demon following us, which is funny.
They give out good candy.
They weren't going. You got like whatever was Halloween candy, mm-hmm. You got Halloween candy, but not some bullshit.
Yeah.
Not those orange and black dog shit.
Oh, candy corn things or whatever.
No, those unlabeled.
Yeah, the waxy, kind of a taffy, a shitty taffy type of thing, like a tapioca taffy.
That was like, do you ever hear somebody do a perfect bit just in, like, even what, like, before I was even into comedy, I was at a Barrel and Bins candy store in the shitty North Park shopping mall in Villa Park. Which had like, it had a Barrels and Bins. It had I don't know what that is. That was, I think it might have just been one, like where you could buy bulk candy.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I worked at the Kmart at one end and a JCPenney at the other end. And then the middle was just desolate. It had like a Lane Bryant and a Barrels and Bins and a 31 Flavors that I knew the kid that worked there. And he would do whippets while customers watched him. Would just empty a Ready Whip can, like would just tell customers, like, hold on a second, and just hit the can in front of them and like stumble around the stuff in the back and be like, all right, what are we doing today? What are we having?
Wow, that's hilarious.
This kid was a fucking maniac.
Hold on a minute.
I used to call him Slow John.
Man.
Self-explanatory. But yeah, we're in that Barrels and Bins. And it was like they had all the candies. That was Halloween time, but it had those orange and black ones. And somebody's like, "Hey, look, it's that candy that only stepdads eat." And I was like, "That's like a comedy. Is that a comedy bit? Because that's goldmine." I wasn't even doing comedy, but I was like, at the time, I was like, "That's a good joke."
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's a funny one.
Yeah, there's always different classes.
It's shit candy
of candy, though. You know, there's the real generic ones like that, and then all the way up to the guy who gives full size candy bars.
Well, that's. Either that, like, yeah, full-size candy bars is just like, you're trying to fuck those kids. Like, what are you, who the fuck do you think you are giving out full-size candy bars?
Oh, man.
Who get over yourself.
That's funny. My parents, one year, I guess they ran out of candy or the store didn't have candy, and I thought this was brilliant. Yeah. They just gave out a bunch of Little Debbies. you know, Little Debbie's. Little
They're individually
cakes.
Wrapped?
Yeah. Just my mom broke out like four or five boxes of the oatmeal pies mm-hmm. and the little devil squares or the Swiss cake roll, which is my favorite.
I like a Swiss
just
cake roll.
Grab you Little Debbie. That's a pretty good idea.
That's not a bad. Mm-hmm. I just eat that on the go.
Yeah, nice little change of pace.
It's going to get smashed in your bag.
Yeah, still sweet, still chocolatey.
I'm trying to think. I can't remember. I mean, my neighborhood is pretty. It was middle class. And just, you know, you got the basic.
Mm-hmm. Did you live
individual.
In a neighborhood?
Yeah, I lived in enough of a neighborhood that, yeah, we could walk around.
That's important.
And then, it was enough houses. You know, that people lived there because there's schools nearby mm-hmm. and they were all young parents. So I miss that, seeing the street. Like you'd see in the 80s movie, the streets are just filled with kids walking around.
Yeah.
And then just getting into mischief because it's Halloween. And
yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, Halloween.
Yeah.
And then we'd eventually, you know, you get older. You're still my buddy. Oh, God. This was the biggest dick move. He would just go out like Halloween just to fucking destroy things.
Really?
Like a real asshole.
I like guess what age?
Just like, well, like 18. Uh-huh. Like, I forget. He was like trick or treat. Didn't even have a costume. And it's late, like 9:30 or 10. And like trick or treat. Someone's like, it's a little late for this. Aren't you kind of old to be trick or treating? And the door just closed in his face. He's like, wrong answer, bitch. And just smashed everything on her porch.
Oh my God.
Just destroyed it all. Like, oh, when people started filling up giant plastic bags with leaves that they would rake, but uh-huh. it was like a pumpkin. Like, oh, that's getting exploded on your yard.
Yeah.
I didn't destroy stuff as much, but I was with the group of kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was, especially like, oh, you carve those pumpkins and then the kids carve them. They're going to go in the trash anyway, but
yeah.
Let them live the night.
Yeah.
Don't let a kid wake up November 1st and all the magic of Halloween is gone.
Yeah.
It's a little funny face he carved into a pumpkin just has a fucking foot through it now. Like, let them have the magic for a little bit longer.
Oh, man. One of my best Halloween memories, and I think we did this more than 1 year, but I was real little, maybe 6, 7.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a neighborhood-wide hayride. A trick-or-treat hayride. Somebody, some neighbor had a pickup truck with like a 12-foot trailer behind it.
Yeah.
He filled it with hay bales and decorated the trailer like an open-faced trailer that you'd haul like landscaping equipment on.
Yeah, like a flatbed or something.
Yeah, flatbed.
Because you grew up not country, but about out there, right?
Yeah, it was pretty rural, but it was mm-hmm. still, we still had a neighborhood.
Yeah.
So it was, I grew up about an hour north of Atlanta. So it was essentially the sticks, but there were still neighborhoods. It wasn't like I lived on a 100-acre farm or anything. And one year our neighbor just decorated up the big long trailer and a lot of hay bales and stuff, and it was nighttime too, so like, you know, as a little kid not allowed to be outside at night, you know past, you know, maybe 7-8 o'clock, but I remember it being like way past the normal time. Of course that could have been 8:45, but just riding around like that too, just riding as a kid, riding in the back of a truck or the back of a trailer, just the wind blowing through your hair. Like, there was something very special about that. And, he'd drive us all around the neighborhood, and then, every few minutes there'd be a stop, and we'd all hop out and just go trick-or-treating for 5 minutes
loot.
And then come back. You know, so he'd make several stops, but we'd hit several houses per stop, and just – bunch of little maniacs just piled up in the back of that trailer. I just thought that was the funnest thing ever.
Did they do haunted houses?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on those? I haven't been to one in a while, and I'm a little bit. I like some of them now seem so intense. I think they might go beyond what's fun. Like I'm some of them I kind of like. Oh, I might just be legit fucked up afterwards. I wonder if it's going to be a good time because it was like a church or something. But I mean, forget that churches also served as hubs of communities.
Yeah.
Forget the religious aspect. Like, now we're going to do a thing with the church because that's sort of like, oh, you live in a neighborhood, hang out with a bunch of, like-minded. Like-minded's the wrong sentence after I already talked about racist Halloween costumes. But they were community centers, too. So I remember going my mom's old neighborhood, and like, oh, the church is going to have a haunted house in the basement. But just as a little kid, I think it was the first time I went through something – where I always love scary movies. Mm-hmm. Like that feeling of being scared. That when we're doing this podcast as one of those reasons, like this kind of scared is, it's fun. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we're going to talk about true crime stuff, and that's a little more based in provable reality, tangible reality. But when you're a little kid and you realize you're walking through a haunted house, and your parents are like, no, they're not going to hurt you. It's for fun.
Yeah.
But it's going to be scary. But it's supposed to be. I'm like, okay, let me do it. And I just remember specific details, but being this, it was just the other kids dressed up, scaring you in corn. I'm like, this is the best time.
Yeah.
And my dad would take us to this place. They would have a Hades haunted house at the Odeum, which is kind of like this low budget sports. It was like an indoor hockey rink by my house. But it was before there was big haunted houses showing up everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, now every city has multiple crazy haunted houses.
Yeah.
I've been following one in LA that started months ago, like a cult. Like you call to be a part of it, and then you're just getting envelopes sent with like covert pictures of you at work.
Really?
Like that's what I'm saying. Like some of this stuff is getting into a level of psychological fuckery that I don't know if that's the kind of fun I would enjoy. Yeah. I just want to go, like the Hades one was big and it was, and my dad took my sister and I was like, oh, haunted house. Yeah. All right, we're going. And first you got to like crawl over this plexiglass, which underneath it is a maze of live rats. And you're crawling
over
there.
They were real rats?
Yeah, there's rats. Ooh. There and there's slides and guys had ropes swinging down in front of you. I think my dad was in the height of his, you know, karate classes. I think he accidentally punched one of the kids dressed up like a zombie. And he felt bad about that. He was just like, that's just my instinct. I've been training, you know. And, but that kind of stuff, like, I love that stuff. And especially Midwest where the weather turns, like the association of.
Yeah.
Like when you got a good, like a. Chicago could be such a butt fuck for Halloween.
Because
I remember Halloweens were still 90 degrees during the day, mm-hmm. and your costume, whatever you had, just melting off. You're pretty like, this sucks. And I've also had where like, Halloween's coming. Like, it's a little drizzly, but it'll be fine. All of a sudden, Halloween rolls around and it's just snowing outside. You're like, fucking come on! How dare you? How dare you?
There was nothing lamer than having to wear your coat over costume.
Yeah, you're a cold mummy.
Oh, I think haunted houses were kind of, at least for me, the natural progression. Is like once you got just a little too old to trick or treat, and you know that meant you probably had a buddy who could drive, mm-hmm. and then it was time to, all right, this year we're going to haunted houses.
And I love like just the end hallway where it's one guy with a chainsaw with no thing, but just in the grand, like, oh no, he's not going to hurt me.
Yeah,
I paid money to be here,
but it's still. But just,
there's I don't know what website they usually pop up this time of year, and I think it's particularly it's one haunted house in Pennsylvania where they have pictures, like photography that takes like the scariest parts, and you'll see the most broed out, flat brimmed guys just throwing their girlfriends in front of them, just like, and it's like it makes me feel better about society because. You see these guys, and you could tell, like, all right, they kind of dressed like – I might have judged that guy if I saw him. I was like, look at this fucking cheese dick, bro. But they still went to a haunted house and didn't walk through like, I'm too macho.
Yeah.
Got legit, like, smiley, fun, scared, but, like, grabbing their girlfriends with their mouths open just in horror. And still like, oh, yeah. And also I signed a release. Like, yeah, please use it. Like, it makes me feel better that those guys, like, oh, maybe just because they dress like douchebag – sports bros doesn't mean they don't know how to have fun. They got a sense of humor about themselves, but also that kind of fear. Like one year, my sister and I just like in the Hades haunted house, just hid in a corner because we realized we could scare people.
Uh-huh.
Just as they came around, just like boo, just the smallest boo because everybody's getting so much over the top stuff.
Yeah.
Just a little kid, boo, just screamed in her faces. My best memories.
That's great.
My favorite Halloween. Fuck.
Okay,
I drank whiskey. This robe is warm.
It looks good. Former comic of the week, Hampton Yunt, has a great bit about haunted houses. I think it's on his most recent album, Bearable, that we plugged. Mm. But he's just talking about, I won't give it away, but just talking about he's in a haunted house and there's one of the creatures, one of the monsters was on stilts. I forgot what he was dressed up like, but he was clearly on stilts and he stepped on Hampton's foot. but he stayed in character and he apologized in character. He's like, I'm sorry. About his commitment to staying in character, even though he was apologizing.
He's a method actor.
Well, yeah, Halloween is fun. What should we get into here? I got some...
Well, we got 6 minutes till the hour mark.
Oh, yeah?
But let's... I mean, just talking about Halloween fits with the theme of the Boogie Monster. Mm-hmm. We've already discussed our previous haunted stories and things like that. I don't know of any actual Halloween folklore.
What's your favorite horror or Halloween-themed movie?
Halloween theme, like not just a scary movie, but a Halloween theme.
Yeah, or something that would be like I was thinking about that today. Like, not all, you know, horror movies are necessarily compatible with Halloween.
You know what? I think they're going to be two. You know, I don't know why they both came to mind, but I'll just go with it. I thought Flatliners. Wasn't that set? Both movies, I'm going to tell you, have Kevin Bacon, I think are set in Chicago, and I think are around Halloween.
Okay.
But Flatliners, or maybe just because I associate Chicago and the city itself in fall with like good Halloween architecture and kind of a little bit cold and walking around some older buildings. Not, you know, I mean, not European older buildings, but Flatliners was where they were all medical students.
Okay.
And it was... It's a big cast. It was Kevin Bacon, Kiefer Sutherland. You had Julia Roberts. I forget who else. Oliver Platt.
Okay.
But they were all med students, and they figured out a way that they could kill themselves, and then they would, like, the other med students would revive them, but to kill themselves and see what is beyond life. What? So the concept was interesting. Yeah, they would die. They would stop their hearts. And then what happens is they would go into this subconscious kind of dream world, but then things from their memories would come back to haunt them in their real life when they got brought back. And for some reason, I think that was set around Halloween, or it's just a movie about autumn in Chicago, which I associate with Halloween.
Yeah.
The next one, also Kevin Bacon, also Chicago, was Stir of Echoes. Just because it's you asked me on the spot, and this is where I'm going.
I remember that.
I thought, because that one came out at the time that Sixth Sense came out, and everybody's kind of trying to do something like that. I thought they did a good job of it, though.
Yeah.
Very scary. Yeah, right? It was a good, scary movie, and I think, I don't know if it's particularly a Halloween-related movie, but.
Man, I love, not necessarily Halloween, but the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Oh, my God. First time I saw that, just because... It kind of had it was so gritty in 70s, it kind of had a documentary feel to it, where it's like, watching that as a child, I think I saw that when I was like 9 or 10.
Yeah.
I was just like, my God, that's the most terrifying thing I've ever seen. Leatherface running around with a chainsaw.
I saw that. I oddly saw the second one when I was a little kid. I never saw the first, but I saw the second one. I was like, my parents did not care about what I watched on TV. So I watched that second one, I was like 9 or 10. At a friend's house, like all the parents are playing. And the second one's ridiculous. Like, to tie it back, they make chili out of the people. Like, it starts with them, with Dennis Hopper winning a chili cook-off because of human meat.
Yeah.
Dave.
Yeah.
Umami.
Umami.
I think you just stole this recipe from Dennis Hopper in Texas Chainsaw Massacre Part 2.
Wasn't the third or fourth when Matthew McConaughey was in?
I thought they redid the original.
They redid the original
with a big kid. With a big
two
kiss.
Words, Jessica Biel. Oh boy.
Oh yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Get your motor running.
I'll remain gentlemanly. But
she's still with Justin Timberlake. Or boy. Do you have a chance?
I don't know. But
are you in the running?
Yeah. I'm probably just a phone call away. I would imagine.
I mean, the way you're going lately with this once this chili recipe gets out there. Once all these ladies figure out you could provide flavorfully.
Well, I've also always loved just the original Halloween. Mm-hmm. Man, that movie scared me as a kid because more so than some of the other boogeymen, you know, like Freddy Krueger and Jason and those guys, something about just that mask and the way he moved and the way he just slowly walked.
Yeah.
Man, Michael Myers, man, that scared the crap out of me. And speaking of which... I'll delve into a little side note here. I was doing some research today just about, you know, all these classic Halloween or horror movies. And every now and then you hear, well, speaking of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, like they sold that as like based on a true story. And I was so excited to do some, years ago when I remembered, oh, yeah, they said based on true story.
Yeah.
I was so excited to do some research and find like a – it's – loosely based on Ed Gein, the serial killer. I think he was in out of Wisconsin.
Ed Gein, yeah, I just listened to another podcast. I've heard some stuff about that. That guy was...
And yeah, his story is horrific, but there's
so was,
nothing to do with a chainsaw, nothing to do with Texas.
Wild Bill from Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, really?
Also based on him, loosely.
Yeah. Well,
mostly the tailoring.
Speaking of loosely based... Halloween, Michael Myers, loosely based on a true story. So I'll delve into that real quick. A guy's name was Stanley Steers, or Stiers, S-T-I-E-R-S. All right, he went on a killing spree back in 1923 in Iowa.
What constitutes a spree?
It's a good question. I don't know. Maybe.
Remember the candy sprees?
Well, there's a whole bunch of those in one pack.
Okay, so a spree. Okay, you read the story. I'm going to look up how many sprees are in
Stanley Steer, his dark journey into living diabolical damnation began as a child. He was deeply abused by both parents. They were always drunk. They found out that Stanley wasn't their biological child. Now, I understand how one of them might find that out, but both of them? Apparently, he was switched by a nurse at the hospital when he was born. And their real child was taken home by another couple. So once his parents found out that Stanley wasn't their real kid, they were just real assholes to poor old Stanley. His whole childhood, in particular, would never let him celebrate anything festive such as Halloween or trick-or-treating. They had another baby. His parents had another baby that they do believe was their own, named Susie, who they treated like a princess. So they shit all over Stanley, treated his sibling Susie like a princess. Well, Halloween Eve, 1923, 11-year-old Stanley was told once again he would not be allowed to trick-or-treat the next night. For his entire childhood, never got to do that. So hours after his sister got home from a Halloween party, Stanley snapped.
So you let one kid go to a Halloween party, you don't let the other kid.
No. He whipped out a butcher knife, took down everybody in the house, including the family dog, according to this report, Mr. Snookers. It's odd that they would add that little detail in there.
I don't understand naming a dog like Mr.
That is kind of funny,
like
though.
Giving it a title.
Buddy had a cat named Captain Napkins. Thought that was funny.
Captain's good. I'm going to call my dog a doctor.
It's unknown if Stiers did most of...
Is there a doctor? And then you just bring your dog.
So he killed some people, or he killed his family that night, then went trick-or-treating, and then he killed some of his classmates who had been bullying him. Some of them much older and bigger than him as well. In one instance, he invaded the home of a classmate, taking out their entire family. Survivors said that he had superhuman strength as he tossed full-grown men around like rag dolls before impaling them with his big butcher knife. Stan was captured at sunrise the next day when he was found gleefully eating candy on a swing outside the school's playground. Federal agents promptly swooped in. They took him to a mental institution for further study, and then apparently he escaped from that 13 years later he escaped. Okay, yeah. Then on Halloween night, 1936, at the age of 24, he snapped again when some of the orderlies at this mental institution harassed him.
What the fuck can't take out an 11-year-old?
I mean, so anyway, that overall concept is kind of the plot line of Michael Myers there as far as killing his own family as a child, going to the mental hospital, breaking out, killing more people. So yeah, this dude here, that's a pretty, more so than like the Ed Gein Texas Chainsaw connection, that's a pretty close parallel to Halloween.
Well, I want to figure out where this is. I wonder if any horror movie has planted the story.
Oh. So
first.
That's a great question.
Like marketed it.
Like a copycat.
I mean, because didn't Blair Witch kind of set, like, I know a lot of people that didn't know if that was fake or not.
Yeah.
Like, before it came out, just the lore of it.
Yeah.
And again, not internet age.
Well, that was right at the beginning of the internet.
Yeah.
That
so
was around 99.
Somebody, like, you kind of knew a little bit here or there.
And but it was one of the first, what is now a genre, the found footage.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there was, I remember being confused, like, but then logic was like, well, they wouldn't show this in the movie theater if this is just some police evidence.
But it was also like a little bit around that time of document, like American movie coming out. Like, oh, documentaries are movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder. Oh, I wonder.
I mean, I'm sure there's.
Because I'm trying to find. Like, he was big when he escaped. He was 6'4 and 260.
Yeah, he was a big dude. Escaped. Just like Michael Myers.
I don't. I mean.
Oh, here's one final note that I forgot to mention. Stanley was never recaptured after he broke out of the mental hospital, killed those orderlies. Never recaptured. Reports of his continued murder still pop up across the country. One as recently as Halloween 2013. So just 3 years ago in Mexico City, he only travels on foot. All of his slayings have been on North American soil. Clearly at age 102, he should not be able to be such a hellish killing machine. This indicates he is immortal if, in fact, nobody can kill him. So, yeah, apparently he's 102 and he's still wandering around killing people. I don't know if I believe that.
No, I'm not going to go with that one. But well, yeah. And then also, like, every website looked up Stanley Steers and every, like, give me some factual sites.
Mm-hmm.
Mystic Investigations, Horror Freak News. The third one is HispanicGoddess.tumblr. MooseRoots.com. What the fuck? No. No. I don't know. I don't know. Well, Friday the 13th, Jason wasn't based on anybody, right?
I don't believe so.
Another Kevin Bacon movie.
True. Yeah, that was before he was in...
OG, might have been his first movie.
Might have been. That was before he was a star.
Is that? He was in Animal House?
Mm-hmm. Is he in Diner?
I don't know. I haven't seen that Diner.
Hmm.
But what movie scared you the most of all time? Without Halloween, but just a scary movie.
Probably Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah.
Yeah, as a kid. Like, yeah. Just that concept of... A chain to die at the hands of a chainsaw.
It's brutal.
Yeah, that scared the hell out of me.
I think I saw Shining when I was real little. I saw all these movies when I was real little. I'm trying to think of what. You know what got me recently that I saw in the theaters that still watching at home going, ooh, they do a good job up until the end was Signs.
Yeah, I loved Signs.
I thought the ending was stupid, but the lead up,
mm-hmm.
when
you see the alien in the video.
When the news, like, the yeah, news the news story. Video. Oh, and then they also, like, the girl, like, oh, there's a monster outside my room, Dad's like, all right. And then you just look outside and you see it, the silhouette on the roof.
Yeah.
And I was in the theater and not everybody saw it in the theater. But my buddy just leans to me, he's like, did you fucking see it on the roof? And I was like, yeah. He's like, this is a good movie.
Yeah.
We both were like, ooh, we're on board. It was that era of getting high as possible and going to see movies.
People shit on him now, but he had some good movies, M. Night Shyamalan.
I mean, the ideas were good. I think he got kind of a hard-on about himself.
Yeah.
But Signs was good. I mean, I don't know what else he had that I saw. I mean,
Sixth Sense. That was
Sixth
solid.
Sense. I saw The Village was meh.
I mean, that concept was good.
You know what I saw? I saw Green Room last week. That was a good one.
Oh, I haven't seen that yet.
Green Room with my pal Eric Edelstein of Drunk History fame.
Oh, yeah?
Good dude. And plays the fact that he's a giant sweetheart, to see him playing a real mean, scary skinhead.
Oh, he's in the movie. I thought you meant you went and saw it.
No, he's in the movie. And I watched The Descent. I know somebody recommended that, so I decided to watch that. It's... like four or five women are cave explorers.
Uh-huh.
And I missed the very beginning. So something happened in the very beginning to create tension amongst the group.
Mm-hmm.
about like somebody didn't stay for a friend after they got hurt when they were exploring. So it was like, we've got to get back and explore these caves. And so, all right, already doing underground caves, that's fucked up. That's scary. My sister and I did.
That is scary.
I will look up which cave we went to. But that stuff is very spooky down there. And then the idea that there was kind of like some chuds down there, some cannibalistic things. We did Mammoth Cave.
In Kentucky?
Yeah.
And you go down. I camped out there.
Did you camp there?
I was talking about that last week. On my tour, I went camping in a bunch of state parks and national parks. Mammoth Cave National Park in Kentucky.
That's one of those places where I'm surprised there's still stuff you're allowed to do. Given the regulations, and especially a government-sponsored thing where it's a state park or a national park, you go on, they give you a jumpsuit and a hard hat, and you have to be of a certain size. You can't be too big. It's like, yeah, you can't be like, oh, you think they say that? Like, oh, yeah, don't be fat because you're going to hike.
Okay.
You might, I don't know. But then you realize it's because, oh, now lay on your stomach and pull yourself through this 14-inch opening.
Wow.
Underneath, just you just crawl through, and people get claustrophobic.
Yeah, that's
scary. They panic under there, and thinking about how earthquakes can make anything shift.
Yeah.
Like, the guide telling you, all right, pick which way you want your head to turn, because for the next 30 feet, you won't be able to move your head the other way. Like, that's how thin these areas are.
Yeah, that creeps me out. I have a touch of claustrophobia sometimes.
We did that, because that was our ghost hunting trip. We did that. We were exhausted climbing through these caves. Then we get to this place in Cincinnati, and I'm sorry I don't have the info. We did Bobby Mackey's Music World.
Yeah.
And then the woman there,
told me about that.
We're like, well, is there other haunted stuff nearby? She's like, oh, there's this one place you can go check out. Some of the guys go over there. Like, just recommendation. Called him up. It was 4th of July. We're like, yeah, you can stay here the night. The guy came in. I don't know if I told this one. So stop me if I did, Dave.
Okay.
But, oh, yeah, the haunted music venues. We didn't do that. Well, maybe that's a whole list for another one. But I'll say this. And so we went to this place after doing the cave. After already climbing through caves and being terrified, we stay at this haunted seminary next to a church they're rehabbing.
It's pronounced cemetery.
Seminary. Seminary day.
The same joke several episodes ago.
Cemetery. It's where they bury them. Well, even weirder, it's where they like would harbor fugitive priests that would get in trouble for molesting kids. And it's all haunted as shit in there. The guy's showing us the place. We come in. The guy, he's like, all right, here's this room. They think a priest died in here, so people hear things. This is a room where they prepare the bodies for funeral at the church next door. People hear stuff up there. You go upstairs. This is upstairs. Ghost hunters. You can see the marks on the floor from where they set up cameras. And they think that kids play up here. That's where there's kids' toys. And he's showing us everything. And he's like, and that's the basement. I don't go in the basement. My sister's like, why don't you go in the basement? He's like, I don't go in the basement. Anyway, here's the keys. See you tomorrow. And that was it. The first thing we did, we go in the basement. And it's just, it's all spooky. This whole place just looks haunted as fuck.
Uh-huh.
We try and do our little investigation. We're like upstairs trying to like move some of the toys around. We don't feel anything. But we make the mistake of watching the Ghost Hunters episode in the place.
Okay.
And we're so fucking tired from doing this cave shit. And so we're watching the Ghost Hunters, and all of a sudden we realized when we walked up to the place, there was a woman sitting in a car in a driveway. And it was the woman that was in the video. It was the guy and the man and wife. They're not ghosts, but they just rehab old buildings. Uh-huh. In the Ghost Hunters thing, she's like, I hate it here. I don't want to do this. She gets like scratched up in some scene. Like they show that she got scratch marks on her back after being in the basement. We never met the woman. She stayed in the car the whole time.
Wow.
So if she was faking it, why is she sitting in the car?
Yeah.
Like, she's like, I'm never coming back in here. We never met her. We didn't even talk to her. But we watched that. We're like, well, fuck. So we both fully scummed out from crawling through caves. Mm-hmm. Didn't even clean up or use a shower. And we both slept in the same bed, fully clothed with the lights on. And if you need to go to the bathroom, wake me up, and I'll keep watch. Cause it's like down some scary hallway. It was so creepy.
Wow.
It was a good, like, if you want scary haunted stuff. The fact that it led up to like, oh, I wonder where that woman would come in. Oh, because demons attacked her in the house we're trying to sleep in right now.
We gotta go do some remote episodes and some haunted.
We'll get them. We're gonna get them. Oh, we've been making a lot of promises to the listeners.
Hey, apropos of nothing, mentioning your drunk history. You know, it was one of my favorite parts about your episode of Drunk History.
I wouldn't remember.
Not just your performance. Dwight Yoakam was in
there. Fucking Yoakam, yeah.
Dwight Yoakam.
Yeah.
I love Dwight Yoakam, literally top five of my favorite musicians. I love, and he's a hell of an actor.
Yeah, and he'll just drop in and be like, he was a mean asshole in Sling Blade.
Oh, the meanest asshole in
Sling Blade. He was Statham's go-to guy in Crank.
Yeah.
I like love Dwight Yoakam. Pops up.
Love Dwight Yoakam. That was so cool.
Guy knows how to have fun.
Changing gears real quick. Another one of my favorite things about Halloween is, and I know I'm allowed to do this year-round, but something, one of my favorite bands.
You can't trick-or-treat year-round, Dave.
Misfits.
I don't know who told you that.
Oh, I love the Misfits so much. Remember last year, we went out to Joshua Tree for Halloween? The whole time out there, I made a special Halloween mixtape, and it was just filled with Misfits songs.
Misfits is definitely,
such good Halloween music. Just what a concept for a band. Just all our songs are going to be just...
Well, Brian Setzer is like a Christmas band now, so why couldn't Glenn Danzig just be the Halloween band?
Did I ever tell you my weird Danzig story?
Hit me with it.
I don't think I did. Okay. As you know, and some of the listeners know, I lived in a van for 2.5 years when I first moved out here from about 2012 to about 2015, 2.5 years, lived in a van, and I spent most of my time over here on the east side of Los Angeles. If anybody knows L.A., east side being Los Feliz, Silver Lake, Echo Park, that kind of that area.
East Hollywood is what – East L.A., it's like Boyle Heights and it's downtown.
Yeah, East Hollywood, east side of Hollywood. But anyway, so I would have to rotate my parking spots. I couldn't just park in the same spot every day because then – some homeowner is going to be peering out her window and eventually it's going to get creeped out by me being there every day and call the cops. So I would rotate. And one of the spots that I would rotate to, I had about 5 or 6 that I would rotate, right there on Franklin in Los Feliz, about once a week I would park in front of what looked like an abandoned house.
Yeah.
And abandoned buildings, abandoned houses were the perfect place for me to park in front of just because they're abandoned. No one's looking out the window, getting creeped out by this bearded weirdo living in a van.
Abandoned except the one red porch light that was always on.
Yeah. And there was even a fence that had like some signage on it that just, to the naked eye, you just think, oh, that's a condemned or abandoned house. So I would park my van there about once a week right in front of this particular house. And also, just out of nowhere, just by chance, I had one bumper sticker on the van, and it was a Misfit sticker. It just had the dumb little Misfit skull on the back of the van. So anyway, one day, and a lot of times I would leave the van parked during the day and go out on foot, or a lot of times I'd hook up with somebody, and they'd drive me around. You know, I'd meet up with a friend and drive around in their car. One day, I forgot which friend was dropping me off back at my van, and he goes, "Ah, look at that, you parked in front of Danzig's house."
Yeah.
And I go, what are you talking about? He goes, Glenn Danzig, Misfits. That's his house right there. Yeah. And I'm like, the abandoned house that I've been parking my white cargo van with my Misfit sticker?
And you realize it's the most obvious. Of course it's his house.
Yeah. But like I had been doing that for months and had no idea that I'm surprised he didn't call. Like looking back on it now, I look like a super fan in my van with my Misfit sticker parked right in front of Glenn Danzig's house.
Well, my favorite thing was learning that was his house, and then it's the most obvious place. If you're in Los Angeles,
it looks like where he would live.
I don't even have to tell you the address. Franklin Boulevard between Vermont and Hillhurst. Yep. Just walk down the street, and it'll be like, there's a regular house. There's a regular house. There's a regular house. There's clearly Danzig's house.
Yep.
Just with a dead lawn. It looks like the Klopex house from The Burbs.
Yeah.
Like it looks like it compared to all the other houses. They're just nice suburban, like neighborhood house, and then just vines and dead grass and an old Jaguar in the driveway.
Yeah.
I always laugh that his name is still Glenn. Like someone's calling him Glenn. Like, his mom calls him Glenn.
You see those pictures going around a few years ago of him buying cat litter at...
probably at the Albertsons, right?
Yeah, right there.
It says he wrote a song for Johnny Cash.
Really?
I'm trying to find out.
Just imagine Johnny Cash singing Skulls.
Did I?
Chop the heads off little boys and put them on my wall.
This is, I mean, we probably should probably wrap up soon.
But yeah, I guess so. It is. It has gotten dark in the learning annex.
His robe's getting open.
Oh, man.
I was singing Skulls with a friend. We'd always drink Captain Morgan's rum. That was my underage beverage of choice. In the parking lot of a strip club. That was, like, not very expensive. And me and my buddy like, let's go to the strip club. I'm drinking it, and we're, like, in the parking lot singing Skulls. And I didn't know the song well enough. So I was singing Touch. I said, I want your touch. And my buddy looks at me, he's like, what the fuck did you say? Like, I want your touch. He's like, he's saying Skulls.
That didn't even rhyme.
He's like, this is the Misfits. So yeah, I'm like, but maybe it was like a spooky touch. Like a demon. Like he touch, if he wants your touch and then you touch him because you're a demon, he'd be a demon. And he's just like, you're a fucking idiot. And that was my early exposures to the Misfits.
Oh, man. All right, buddy. Real quick, what's your favorite candy?
Oh, by the way, I don't know how many are in a spree, but at least a dozen and a half.
Yeah, makes sense.
My favorite candy, Halloween or otherwise?
Either one.
Something you don't get. I would say Sour Patch Gummy Bears. Not the kids, the bears. Different consistency of the gummy part. Favorite Halloween candy, probably Reese's Cups. Just they give you the single disc, full-size disc, but individual wrap. Man, I love a Reese's Cup.
I do like a Reese's Cup, too. Although, if someone were ever to make me a peanut butter and jelly sandwich with that peanut butter, push them into the bushes.
Don't call it peanut butter. Call it candy. It's your eating candy.
That's true. Big fan of the old Kit Kat. Can't go wrong with a Kit Kat.
I am disliking Kit Kats the more I have to watch a Kit Kat commercial. Where they, like the commercial, you know, people like, there's a psychological condition if you have to hear someone's eating sounds, it infuriates you.
True.
I think I might have that because that Kit Kat commercial.
Which one?
Where it's just them biting Kit Kats.
I don't know that
one. It's like the give me a break, but it's like crunch, 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 crunch.
Okay.
And I fucking hate it. Huh. I'll punch through my TV. Like, stop. You're just encouraging people to eat loudly. That's disgusting. Wow. Like, people that chew with their mouths open. I mean, we all make the mistake from time to time. But, oh, God, I fucking hate it so much. I think I might have that condition, or I might just be a decent person that can't handle your disgusting habits.
I didn't mean to upset you.
Anyway, no, Kit Kats, it's a solid candy. You get them two sticks at a time on Halloween.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Good stuff. Well, all right, buddy. Anything to plug?
Let's see. If this comes out on the 25th, you're listening around the 25th. The evening of the 25th, I'll be at the Honest Pint in Chattanooga. Wednesday the 26th at the 40 Watt in Athens. Back at the 40 Watt.
Nice.
27th at the Variety Playhouse in Atlanta, Georgia. And that weekend, I'll be at the Fest in Gainesville, Florida.
That's awesome. Do you remember, obviously, do you remember when you filmed that special there at the 40 Watt?
Yeah, I remember.
Do you remember who suggested you film your special there?
Was that you throwing it at me?
It was me.
Did you throw me at 40 Watt?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, thanks, sweets.
Yeah, man. We were running stairs that day. We were running stairs, and you were like...
Was it?
Yeah. And I was like, you know what you should do? You should go to Athens and film it at the 40 Watt, because that's a badass place. I got to perform there years ago, opening for Patton Oswalt, and that was way too early in my career to be performing in front of that many people, but had a blast.
Original Kurt Cobain signatures in the green.
Yeah, there. Yeah, yeah. They referenced that on a Drive-By Truckers documentary. I got some dates coming up later, but I'll plug current ones. Playing Flappers here in Burbank, doing two nights, October 28th and 29th. So this weekend, if you're listening to this when it comes out, Friday and Saturday, two shows each night.
Halloween weekend at the Comedy Club, where they make their waitstaff already wear costumes.
So if you're in the L.A. area and you want to see me do a longer set, 7 and 9 both nights, four shows. October 28th and 29th at Flappers.
It's Burbank's. It's fun. You got a BW3 right by there?
It's BW3? Buffalo Wild Wing?
Is that, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why it's BW3.
Not a fan of the old Buffalo Wild Wing.
No?
Their sauces, their wing sauces are garbage.
All right.
Don't get me started.
Upset at the corporate.
Comic of the Week. You want to do Comic of the Week this week? I'm surprised we haven't got to this fella yet.
We didn't even discuss this, did we?
We didn't. I'm coming in hot with a good friend of mine who's also literally one of the funniest human beings on the planet, James Adomian.
Oh, Jadoms.
You know James Adomian. So funny.
He's ruined the real version of people for
me. Yeah.
I was watching, Rachel had never heard Huellhauser before.
Uh-huh.
And so I was watching Huellhauser. He was in New Zealand or something. No, he's in the Cook Islands. And I don't think the episode that I saw, he didn't even have a camera crew. It was just him with a video camera fucking up people's lives. But then,
well, that's fantastic.
Yeah, and then I showed her Adomian's version. He's just in Whittier, California, in somebody's backyard. So you have a front yard, and then around the back, this would be, like, it's the backyard. The backyard!
Man, I'm so bummed, primarily that Bernie didn't get the nod, just because that could have really helped James' career.
Bernie's non-presidential career from now on is going to be interesting enough.
Oh, man, he hooked up, I can't remember the guy's name, but his buddy who did the Trump impression.
I'm terrible.
They did a live show. They took it. They toured it.
They have an album out or a special out. Something. Bernie versus Trump.
Oh, my gosh.
They both nailed it.
His Bernie, you know, and don't get me wrong, I'm a huge Larry David fan. But when Larry David started showing up recently on SNL doing his Bernie thing, and people are like, oh, it's brilliant. Couldn't hold a candle to James Adomian's Bernie. He does Jesse Ventura. Oh, my gosh. So many.
Well, it's a widely known fault that whatever SNL has against him, they are shitting the bed.
He's
as an institution,
yeah,
not taking on Adomian, who is an amazing impersonator, an amazing comic, a great actor. Like, they're fucking up.
Yeah.
By not employing that dude.
Literally one of the most talented human beings on the face of the earth. A D O M I A N, Adomian. Mm-hmm. Look up James Adomian. He's got an album out, at least one, I think. I know he's got one called Low Hanging Fruit. Mm-hmm. Came out a couple years ago. He's always on Comedy Bang Bang.
Yeah.
It's popping up. He was in a movie, David Cross movie, not recently, called The Hits, just about some viral phenomenon. Independent film, but had a good role in that. Look up James Adomian. And by the way, let me say this, and he talks about this. He's a gay man, mm-hmm, and I don't know why he's not bigger in the gay community. You know,
What do you mean?
Just the fact that, I mean, he should be a comedic icon regardless, because he's just so funny. But, like, you know, comedians, you know,
we're talking about gay men. I want to make sure that I turn some lights on right as this robe opened up.
But, like, certain, gay comedians seem to have a strong following amongst their demographic. But you don't really hear.
Not a center point of his comedy.
That's true.
He brings it up and stuff, but it's not like it's not his agenda as a comedian.
True.
So,
but because he is out, you still think that he would have more support amongst that community. And, you know, I don't know.
You like him because he's good at comedy.
Yeah.
He's a comedian that's good at comedy. And so,
my point is,
if there's gay people that like comedy, they should like him for that reason.
I have gay friends who support other gay comedians who are very less talented.
I think it's, you're just getting into, you know, obviously there's what's not represented as much in mainstream comedy. Mm-hmm. So you support those groups support themselves. They're not represented as much. There doesn't need to be like, oh, we got to go support fucking chubby white bearded dudes doing comedy, because there's not enough of them. So those communities, like, they're going to support their own. You know, they need that support amongst their communities. So when I think Adomian maybe doesn't also just play to that community. He doesn't do just gay jokes.
That's part of it.
But he just doesn't play that. He's just a fantastic comedian above and beyond all labels.
Yeah.
So
funny. So look up James if you don't already know him. Buy his album, and I'm sure, I mean, any day now, he's going to be a household name, I would assume. Just too talented.
No, just another SNL fuck-up. Like, everybody can yell about who should be on there, but that of just the comedy community, unless he doesn't want to, and has been offered, but, like, that's like, it's not like nobody knows him and he's living in some small corner of the world. It's like, put this fucking guy on your show, you dum-dums.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, happy Halloween, buddy.
Hey, happy Halloween to yourself. There even rained a little bit in Los Angeles. Got a little, made a little bit spooky here for
That's
us.
That's right, man.
So everybody safe. Check your candies and apples. Check your apples for razors. Check your razors for apples.
Yeah, I didn't even get to all this true crime stuff.
That's all right.
We'll do that next Halloween.
Let's go put apples in the razor section.
That'd be great.
Of Walgreens.
Just crack open Something's a package up. Of Let's.
These are just apple slices. The fuck is this?
Oh, my God. Check out the social medias. We're on the Facebook. We're on Twitter, Boogie Monster, at Booger Monster Pod. No vowels in the monster. But, yeah, holler at us on the Twitters, Gmail, Boogie Monster Gmail. Suggestions. Keep those biscuit recipes coming. Oh, and also we mentioned this last week, but any fan art. I love seeing that fan. And I even feel weird saying fan art. But anybody who's got some Boogie Monster art, I love that.
Fans is the friend you haven't met yet.
Yeah, so that'd be great. But all right, till next week, Dave Stone, Kyle Kinane, the Boogie Monster Podcast. Spooky, spooky, booga, booga.
The Boogie Monster.